Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
And welcome to Versus Player, the podcast about games, life, and everything in between. I'm Jono.
I'm Joe.
I'm Jace.
Ooh, we remembered our names. It's good because it's been 9 months?
Yep.
Wow.
Is this our longest gap?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, we did that special a few years ago, and I did the homework, and I'm pretty sure we had like an 11-month gap once.
Wow.
From memory.
Okay, it just keeps getting shorter until suddenly we're just in your ears every single day.
That's it. It's a good direction to go.
It seems like everybody these days is doing a podcast. Like as in, like when we first started out. I mean, we've talked about when we first started out a few times, but I mean, I think you guys remember it was at like one of the places I was living in. We had a giant mixer that I brought in, and we recorded one episode on that. And I was going to buy it off my mate, and then we did a bit of research. We found the Beast. Was a Zoom H6 recorder, and that thing was pretty incredible. That changed a lot for us. And nowadays, you can just get little tiny mics clip onto you, and away you go. And it's a funny thing because we did that podcast. We did two podcasts in a park. The park cast.
That's right.
We had a little bit of technical difficulties on the first go of it. The second one went a lot better, and now DJI, the guys, the mics that we were using, have come out with an actual microphone that records four people at the same time, which is what I wanted. It feels like the technology is constantly changing. So
they heard you, Jace.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's I'm so tempted. That's also so expensive. So we'll rely on our old friend Zoom to continue doing our remote podcast for now. But
What's the dollary dues are we talking about for the four?
It's pretty hefty. I mean, I just bought those other mics as well, which stings a little bit. But for like four mics, it's like $1,000. And I'll be honest with you, I was real close. but no, I'm going to hold off for the moment. There are more. I don't need four mics. There's only three of us, so we only need three mics.
Yeah.
And
talking gaming, that's like those four mics are two Switch twos, or at least a Switch two in one game.
That is a very, very good point.
not even 10 games anymore.
It's one Switch game. Yeah.
One game.
But look,
maybe
two
Switch games.
It'll be a nice thing to do again when we meet up in person. Which we met up in person last night for the first time in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Life and in between gets in the way and all that kind of stuff. But
as
always, we've promised this before. We've attempted this before, but it'll be nice to get back to our regularly scheduled VP. There was a point there where it was like every week, right? Back in the early days.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. 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 Back in the day. Now it's, it's like all friendships. You're still friends. You just have times where you can't catch up. So for all our friends out there that like listening to us, guess what? We're not dead. We are.
We're not dead.
It's a surprise in your podcast streaming app, whatever it is. Here exactly. We pop up just randomly. You don't know when it's going to come. It's a good surprise.
Like a little Easter egg. Yeah.
Hello, friends.
So there's so much gaming to catch up on. I mean, we've had a Switch 2 come out. Were we talking about that in January?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I listened to a little bit of it the other day, but I don't remember if we mentioned the Switch 2 or not. When did that get released?
I'll try and look it up while we're talking.
A few months ago now.
Has anybody got a Switch 2?
No.
Nope.
Is there a reason you haven't got a Switch 2?
Money.
Is there a reason to get a Switch 2? For
also a great question.
Debate.
Look, I think Donkey Kong looks awesome, but I don't think it looks like you know, with the console game accessories, $1,000 awesome. If
what
it was
about
Mario,
Mario? What about Mario Kart World? Because I don't hear anyone talking about it at the moment. Did not look.
Not for a kart racer. Again, I have had a short go at it of it at a friend's place, and yeah, it's fun, really fun. But yeah, not a
Does it
system seller for
look
me.
better? Like, do you feel like you're looking at something? I mean, because Nintendo graphics are kind of timeless, right? Like they
Yes.
look good on just about anything. But does it, you know, is
It
there a reason to, from a visual standpoint, like does it, is there a difference?
it's smooth as like that's the thing. I think that's the big difference. Like you go and play some Switch games compared to something on Xbox or PlayStation, and yes, yeah, the power of the machine is limited just how well these things run. And like you said, like Nintendo gets away with it with an incredible art style and, you know, very unique kind of approaches to their games. But we've had so many Mario Kart games, and you know, they look pretty similar to the last few. But this, yeah, the open world side of it, I didn't get to explore much.
Because
But the yeah, just the smoothness of it.
they re-released the two Zelda games, right? And like at full price. Like was there an upgrade path?
I think
Yeah,
there's
there was.
upgrade paths for everything, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
All
if it's
right.
an older game, you can often put it in and pay for an upgrade.
Right.
And they've
Okay.
done some cool things with the upgrade paths. Like they've got some games where it's, you know, the Kirby game, where there's extra stages, and they're doing Mario Wonder, and they're doing like this whole new island, which is all like multiplayer themed and some cooperative, some like, you know, adversarial kind of modes and things. It looks really cool that it's had it in the recent direct. But I think that's a good approach.
So talking of that recent direct, weirdest choice ever. Personally, this is mine, and I'd love to hear your opinions. Why the Virtual Boy in the Virtual Console? Why? 14 games that are going to bleed into your eyes with red. Stereoscopic, because you buy the attachment, which apparently there's two attachments. It's like
Yes.
one that looks like the original Virtual Boy, and you can fit the Switch one or two in, and then the other one that's just cardboard that you put around the your Switch one or two, and then
Oh, what
have
was
the
that
same
cardboard?
stereoscopic thing.
I've got those that
Labo.
cardboard game, Labo. I've got that, and we built the fishing game, we built the house, and we never built the rest. It is sitting in a cupboard still here. I should get to it because I always
Never
wanted to
built the
do.
robot? The wasn't it like
No,
Power
that was a
Armor or
separate
something?
one. So there was like two different, I think three maybe different versions. There was a
Yeah,
VR
there's a
version as
couple.
well. But yes, I wanted to do the fishing as well. But yeah, anyway, the kids kind of got bored with it.
I have a theory, and I think that Nintendo have this sort of like B team or C team where they're allowed to do whatever they want. And they get to do it once or twice a year or once or twice a generation. I'm not really sure. But then there's some weird things that come out as a result of that. Like, I mean, Nintendo released that alarm clock, right? Alamo or whatever it was called. And to be honest with you, it kind of looked cool. I think it was quite expensive. And I guess it's not too dissimilar to what Xbox did with the fridge, right? The mini fridge. But I reckon that there's a team out there that are just like, just do something that's outside the box, that's very uniquely Nintendo, that's very much our identity. And you know, if you can do it on the cheap, even better. And you know, just to mix it up, because I mean, Nintendo really are in a league of their own, aren't they?
Yeah, but like you're right, beyond gaming too, like they've got the Nintendo Museum that in the last like 2 years, what? Nintendo Museum, they've got the Nintendo World, the theme park, and that's just had like a Donkey Kong new version as well. They in the direct they had like the little horn guy, they're making a little toy of him. Did you see that, Jono?
Oh, the talking
The
flower,
talking flower,
yeah,
yes.
the flower.
Yeah, and then they've had the Mario movie, the success of that, and they've got the sequel coming out, Mario Galaxy, which is going to be humongous. They're doing a live action Zelda. They're branching out back
They're
to
doing a
their.
live action Zelda. I didn't know
They're
that.
doing a live
Netflix,
action
isn't it?
Zelda. Yeah, is it?
I don't
They
know.
they've cast supposedly Zelda and Link.
It's dangerous if you're going to do it on Netflix, but I guess we'll see how it plays out, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I'm sure it's coming to a streaming service of some sort, but I
Oh,
just don't know
eventually
which
they
one it
all
would be.
do, but yeah, they're really being diverse with their kind of approach to things. And I agree, Jono, you asked me, you know, are they going to release a backwards compatible, different kind of console to the Nintendo Online? I would never have guessed the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think back to the announcement of the Switch 2 and how excited I was with the idea of GameCube games coming to the virtual, the online service. And now I'm like, just
Yeah.
let me buy the game I want.
It's really interesting though, because like having that 3D capability with the stand or whatever it's going to be, Like you think they'd just go, all right, let's have the Virtual Boy as a one aspect of it, but maybe go the Nintendo route and make something new with it too, not just in red. But I guess that's the nostalgia, right? And you said this last night, Jono, you're not going to own any of these games.
No. Well, you just mentioned something that might be interesting, because I don't know if the Virtual Boy attachment has red colored lenses or they're displaying in red. I think it's just displaying in red.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm pretty sure it did.
Which case, if they wanted to get some more life out of it, 3DS games stereoscopically could be pretty cool. Because, you know, the 3DS is essentially dead now. They're not making anything new for it. They're not making new consoles. So this would be a really cool way to get some.
On the Nintendo store, there's a picture of it looking in and it's got red lenses in there.
Oh.
So unless that's something else, but yeah, it's certainly red lenses. It's very weird.
Wait and see, I suppose.
$139.95 Australian dollars.
Well, jeez, it's funny, those sorts of attachments have sold really well. Like all the wireless controllers that they've done, the Nintendo 64 one kept on selling out online regularly, and you can only get it if you're an online member, and a lot of people were getting it because they wanted to play GoldenEye in the traditional way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It looks authentic. It looks like, you know, like it looked.
Who would have thought we'd turn into a Nintendo podcast?
I came really, really close to getting a Switch 2, as you guys know, because, again, I wanted Jade, my daughter, to be able to experience motion in games. And, you know, obviously the Wii was huge, right? And we had a lot of fun with that. And it almost came. I actually found my old Wii at my mom's house the other day, and I was almost tempted to just plug that in and just go for Wii Sports that way. But I guess I'm a little bit spoiled these days, right? And Switch Sports was pretty good. I thought it was pretty well done. And, you know, the bowling is always fun and all that kind of stuff. But it really is, you know, the price of admission is so high, because I don't own any of those games anymore. I used to on my Switch. My Switch is, I can't do anything with it anymore. The Joy-Cons don't work. The railings are busted. They don't charge. So there's nothing I can really do with my original Switch. And I didn't mishandle that in any way. I sent my controllers off for repair 3 times to Nintendo. Good on them for fixing it. Took a while each time, but they did it. But like, it just keeps reverting back to the same problems. And so really for me, the only option now is either buy a Switch 1, which feels silly, or get a Switch 2. And I've just decided at this stage of the game, it's something I'm going to save for, you know, one day when she says, "Dad, I want a Switch." Yeah. And then I can save it as a Christmas present or something. I mean, you know, everyone wants a piece of that handheld pie, but I mean, it's still very much, Nintendo is still very unique in the way that approaches it. Like, even Lenovo came out with their own handheld where you've got the detachable controllers, but it doesn't work the same way as a Switch does. You can't use those two controllers as their own individual controllers, right? That's one of the big appeal. I mean, it doesn't. It makes sense that you can detach them and use them in that way. It's quite a quite a cool way of using a handheld device. But there's nothing like there's nothing that really competes with the way that a Switch operates from a motion perspective and other ways of being able to interact. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, the Kinect was probably the closest thing. So it's a shame, really, that there isn't anything else out there. And I guess the answer is, if you want that, get a Switch. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty of portable gaming options, but for what it is, it's very unique. It's very Nintendo. Like we were saying before, it's just they approach things differently to other companies. And you think about, you know, PC, console gaming and Nintendo as a separate thing in that PlayStation and Xbox. And really, nowadays, PlayStation's dominating. But Nintendo's on a different path. And, you know,
they're definitely playing their own game. I've been lucky enough to use the PlayStation Portal recently, and I thought that was just initially a gimmick, but it's a really, really cool device.
Everyone loves them.
Especially if you just got it around the house, like you just remote into your PlayStation and you've got a really cool screen and it works quite well. And I think that that's a nice sort of stopgap in between, you know, maybe remotely playing on another device like your mobile phone or something like that, or having that Switch-like experience, except you're getting a higher fidelity and a higher frame rate. And frame rate seems to be the big thing these days, you know. Getting a higher frame rate playing on this PlayStation Portal device. I think that there need to be more devices like that. Then again, there isn't really anything different from a PlayStation Portal in comparison to using an iPad with an Xbox controller, right? It's just a form factor thing. You can, you know, streaming work, as long as you've got a decent enough Wi-Fi at home, a strong enough Wi-Fi connection at home, you can get really, really close to sort of one for one with as if you were playing just on the TV.
I used to do it quite regularly, actually, and it works really well. And I know, Jason, you, speaking of handheld gaming, you've kind of been dabbling in something recently, right?
I mean, I was super keen on getting the Xbox slash Asus ROG handheld, but the catch with that, we don't have a price yet, but I'm pretty confident it's about 1600 Australian, and that's entering into, you know, into laptop territory. In saying that, it's also entering into mobile phone territory. Mobile phones can cost that, if not more.
Oh,
But I
much more.
was right. Like, I haven't bought them, as I said to you guys last night, I haven't bought a mobile phone in ages, but I know that they're expensive. And for that reason, like, you know, I was very, very close. But a lot of people are under the impression that this Xbox Asus collaboration, you know, the whole this is an Xbox thing. They even announced a thing recently with LG where you can play an Xbox in a car. Although I've been doing that
Hilarious.
in the Tesla for a little while now, but still, in more official capacity, you can do
But
that.
streaming?
It is streaming.
No. Are you streaming your games in the Tesla, or is it like actually downloaded?
So the way that I do it in a Tesla is it's not like a an official thing. I just go to the xbox.com/play website, and then
No.
I can do that on anything. I can do you
Wow.
can anything that has
Of course,
an
using a
internet
browser.
browser. My work forgot to block that as well. Now that I've said that out loud, if anyone from my work is listening, that might wrap that up. But anyway, the
Cut
browser
that
component of it
out.
is very good. And GeForce Now is phenomenal. It's just expensive. GeForce Now is almost one for one. You know, we had a friend of the show on here a couple of episodes back, and he was playing Cyberpunk on his Mac. And so, you know, it's come a long way, and I think it's getting better and better. But yeah, again, $1,600 for a handheld that doesn't actually play Xbox games. It's relying on publishers to effectively allow Xbox to be able to release a double license, which is you buy a game and then you get another copy of it on PC through this Play Anywhere feature, which is
Yeah,
phenomenal.
it is.
But they're not forced to do it, and most publishers don't want to give away two copies of their game, right? They want you to double
Yeah.
dip if you want to play it on PC and Xbox.
I'm
But you
surprised
know,
at how many games I own digitally now on Xbox that are Play Anywhere.
they're
So,
turning it on for a lot of them, and a lot of them already
yeah.
were from the beginning.
Well, I've got an old PC that Jace gave me ages ago, and I fire it up every so often when I want to play a PC game, and I opened up the Xbox dashboard because I'm also farming as many Microsoft points as possible. That's just free games for me. But I got RoboCop digitally a while back because I couldn't get a physical copy anywhere, and there it is, available to play on that PC.
Honestly, I've been playing like a lot of Silk Song, and I'm bouncing in between the computer that I'm recording this on now. My handheld that I bought the Asus ROG, but just the original version of it, the version that is more recently released, I guess, but not the Xbox version. And then I jump on the Xbox, and I've got the Xbox Series S, and I just bounce between it. It's all seamless. The cloud save files work. And there is something really, really nice about that I can enter any room in the house and pick up where I left off, due to the power of cloud gaming. And again, I've been doing this for a long time, but like I can buy any one copy of a game on Xbox, and then I can, as long as anybody in my household is here, like they've got their profile on my Xbox, they can go into another room and play the same game with one license. So I pay for Game Pass once, but I've got two people playing. I've been doing that for years, and Microsoft clearly know about it. Like they're just letting it happen. Sony don't let it happen. Steam definitely doesn't let it happen. You can do family sharing, but the moment that I try and play a game that somebody else owns, if they try and go into it, it kicks me out, right? Which is understandable. That makes a lot of sense. We're entering really cool territory now, and we have been, I guess, in it for a while, but where you can really just seamlessly play across all devices. And I think, as we said previously, like that is clearly Xbox's strategy. It's almost a joke at this point that this is an Xbox, that is an Xbox, but that's what they're focused on. That's their thing.
I play it on my MetaQuest, like stream
It's
Xbox
crazy.
games that I and I you know just the progress from what I'm playing on my console just comes straight over. And yeah, it is, and it's cool. Like it is cool on the MetaQuest. I could only imagine, you know, when you get better quality images with the giant screen that you can have with VR or in augmented reality as well, that's going to be an absolute game changer, because why would you really want to play anywhere else besides the fact that this big thing's on your head? But yeah, the tech will just get better and better, and that's going to be an awesome way to play. Like that time, John, I remember when we played Tekken at IMAX in the city?
That's right, yes.
And a Tekken event? Can't remember which Tekken it was.
That was weird.
But that was ridiculous. It was a fun thing to say that we've done. We've played Tekken characters bigger than, you know, buildings.
And, kaijus, yeah.
It just did not. Kaijus, that was right. It just really, it wasn't a good way to play the game, but geez, it was a cool thing to see.
Yeah, it really was.
I think the territory that we're all in now is that Nintendo are clearly playing their own game, right? It's all about their games. They can re-release as many things as they want. And as long as they've got like Nintendo-based, you know, your Zeldas and your Marios and your Donkey Kongs of the world, they're set. You've got Xbox who think everything is an Xbox and they're doubling down on cloud. And if they did a better job explaining what Play Anywhere was, like there's a lot of people going to buy this new Xbox handheld thinking it plays Xbox games. And it's true to a degree, but not the way that you think it would. Very impressive, very powerful device, also very expensive and very misunderstood. Xbox and Microsoft have always been horrible at marketing. I don't think that's any big surprise. And then you've got Sony, who is really the only player left that is playing the original game. And they're, you know, it's all about first party sort of stuff. But then every now and then they come out with, like the Vita was an incredible device. The PSP was an incredible device. Yeah. Apparently they're going to do it again.
But they're not giving,
believe when I see it,
Vita games on PlayStation Plus yet. And that's going to be an awesome thing. Like with,
are they going to do it?
Hopefully. But the problem, I think, is the whole back touch on the console. And where do they go with that? Yeah. But I like, you guys know, I love Uncharted, the series. Yeah. Uncharted 4 is like in my top five games ever. I've played that game so many times. I've played all of them so many times. But I've never played Golden Abyss.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that's I'm not able to. Yeah, so it's a bugger. But I will say, I know, Jono, you normally do like a retro part of the podcast as well. And then seeing this episode seems to be handheld theme, I'm going to talk about a retro game that I played just like a couple of weeks back on old hardware. And that was Tetris on Game Boy.
And it's good, isn't it?
It brought me back to, I went on holidays when we got our Game Boy, Melbourne. We're at my auntie's place with my cousins. And my mum got really into Tetris on that trip. And back in the day, I remember how hard it was. And like, if I ever got to level 10, I felt like I'd won the game. I just kept on going. I was on like level 14 and I had to stop because it was just getting later and later. So I've got to just give myself a good amount of time to pick it up and give it another go again. But it's something about that game, just like I said, bringing me back. But the muscle memory is there. It plays differently than modern Tetrises. You don't have the, you know, the hold brick. You don't have the like instant shoot down sort of thing. You want to get Tetrises, you know,
it's like slower paced.
But it is so good. It is just like, it's what Nintendo does, right? They just make a game for their console that just, you just remember every console's got that game. Mm. And for the Game Boy, it's that. And was it Super Mario? Oh, which one? The one with the little biplane. Is it Mario World 2 or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, it might be.
Oh, I love that one.
Well, actually, on that note, join us next time on Versus Play, where we're going to talk about, in just a week's time, talk about some of the classic games that we played, some of the things that we really love. And you can find us in the usual places. So come on back. We're going to be back regularly and you'll get a new episode in just a week from now. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.